From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 19th day of February 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Bill Gentry at Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, U.S. and Russian negotiators say they need to meet a second time to settle their not paltry, but poultry, as in chicken trade, differences. And Pioneer, by way of a grant from the Gates Foundation, will soon be working to improve crop yields in Africa. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories shortly, and then after that, we'll have a discussion with farm management specialist Gary Schnitke about the crop insurance decisions farmers will be making next month. And it all happens right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finish the day like this. The nearby May wheat futures or March wheat futures at 489 and three quarters were up 4 3/4 for the soft red. The May at 504 up 4.5. In July, the harvest month at 516 and three quarters up 4.5. Hard red winter wheat July harvest month at $5.20 in Kansas City up 4 3/4. From the corn pit back in Chicago, $3.60 the settlement price for the nearby March. Up 2 3/4, May at 371 3/4, up 2 3/4, July at 382 3/4, 3 cents higher, September at 390 3/4, up 2.5, and December corn at 398 1/4, 3 cents higher on the day. March soybean futures at $9.45, down 3, the May at 954 1/2, 3 lower, July at 962, down 3 1/4, and August soybean futures at 958 1/2, down 3 cents. September contract at $9.40. They finished down 4 cents. March bean meal at 276.40, up 80 cents. The May at 270, down 20. March bean meal, or rather bean oil now, 38.52, down 18. The May at $39, down 18. Those two previous, of course, were the bean meal, not the bean oil. February contract, 92.77 1/2, up 60. April at 93.30, up 25. March futures today, 102.60, 12.5 cents higher. April futures at $104, a dime higher. April lean hogs at $69.65, finished 62.5 cents lower. The May contract at $76.05, up 15 cents on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, $79.81 a barrel, up 75 cents. April at $80.06, up 64 cents. March ethanol at $1.70 1/2. That's up 0.3 cents. And the natural gas at $5.04 9/10, up 12 3/10 cents. Our Bob gasoline, $2.08 1/2. Up 1 6/10, and the heating oil at 207 even, up 1 8/10. Gold futures at $1,121.30, up $3.30, and the Dow now at $10,409, $16.40 higher on the afternoon. The U.S. dollar at 80.64, up 0.24 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own Mike Sola. He says tonight, in western Illinois, mostly cloudy, some light snow that'll arrive to the north, mixed precip and rain to the south. In northeastern Illinois and northern and eastern Indiana, mostly sunny, says Mr. Sola. Elsewhere, increasing cloudiness. In the south, a mix of rain, freezing rain, sleet, and snow. Lows will range from 21 in the north to 33 in the south. Tomorrow in the north and in central sections, cloudy, scattered snow showers. In the south, cloudy, a mix of snow, a bit of rain, some areas, and all rain further to the south. Highs will range tomorrow from 30 in far northwestern Illinois to 47 in the extreme south. The extended forecast says light snow will fall across much of northern and central Illinois and northern and central Indiana overnight tonight and in tomorrow morning. Snowfall will average around 1 inch, with some snow places getting less, while others might pick up a bit more. A mix of rain and wet snow will fall in some southern areas, with all rain further to the south. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour and talk with Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Leonard Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Friday afternoon. Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, is in this afternoon to talk to us about the futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, we had a little green on the marketplace today. Did it have much to do with what was happening in Washington, D.C., or outside markets?
I think it was a combination of both. Basically, the technical profile, most everybody seems to think we've got a short to intermediate term low in place. We bounced and then kind of ran out of gas and backed up to basically like a little minor 50% retracement level to the downside, and then come in on Friday, test the resolve of any new shorts, and they didn't seem to have much conviction.
Well, they didn't have much conviction. Will they be back with more conviction once we get to Monday?
Possibly. I think what we're going to be watching right now is to see how much movement of corn we see in the countryside. The biggest fear out there right now is that the corn going out of conditioner that's not going to store very well is going to have to come to the market, and the question is when. Told some guys this afternoon, so if we walked in on Monday and saw a little bit of a flip-flop in the weather forecast, and we start seeing forecasts in the 11 to 15-day territory of above-normal temperatures or much above-normal temperatures with a lot of moisture, I think that would intimidate some guys and maybe force the trade into the sell side of the equation again. But right now, it's pretty much watch the forecasts and pay attention to the quality of your corn.
Well, we put the corn away in mid-December, or at least that's it's in the bin. Probably it may have gone in earlier. If it had, it's probably out of the bin by now. But say that went into mid-December around 2022, 23, or something along those lines. Is there a reason to believe that it's still there? I mean, we're moving into mid-February, and it won't be long before we get to March. I can't imagine if it was going out of condition that it's still around in those bins.
Well, it depends on how much circulation you got, how cool could you get it, what kind of temperatures you had when you put some air on it. The biggest thing is if you could get your core temperatures down quite a ways, it'll hold okay. It just depends on the individual situation. And like you say, was it 22, 23, or was it spotty at 22, 23, at 25?
I guess, Bill, the question really is not whether they managed to figure that out, but whether if they weren't able to get that down, that it's not already gone.
Right. Probably the worst quality stuff, yes, is gone. They've moved that as aggressively, but you still have the next generation or the next, I guess, less worse corn that's still going to basically, they said, well, I can limp along till March or May, but then it's going to have to move.
No, it's going to have to get moved before we really start to get 40, 45, or 50 degrees outside, I suppose.
Exactly.
All right. What do you think of the bean market?
The bean market basically struggled. We've got new crop coming on from South America. They had a very slow harvest pace this week, didn't add much pressure, but it sounds like they're going to have about 20 million metric tons out of the field. The question is, how much progress do they make from the field to the ports? Heard this week the transportation cost in some areas is as much as $3.50 a bushel to move it from the field to the ports. With this year's prices significantly lower than last year, the incentive for the producer to make that move, take that hit in his profit, is not very good. So it's moving slower to the ports this year than it did last year.
Hey, did you see the sales figure this morning? I did not.
Yes, I did.
And?
It was a marketing year low, and it was
kind of an expectation.
Yeah. 203.6 million metric tons.
And that's a marketing year low.
But, yeah.
Marketing, does it seem low for this week for you, too?
It was a little bit below expectations. We've been expecting the sales to taper off, and this is kind of to be expected. You never want to see a marketing year low, though.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go?
Nice advance in the crude once again, and the corn was able to respond, and wheat, too, if for that matter, in the face of a stronger dollar. So we're kind of decoupling a little bit.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and have a good weekend.
You too. Bill Gentry is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. He's out of Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Dave's here now with a little information about our All-Day Ag Outlook meeting and then the agricultural news.
The 20th annual All-Day Agriculture Outlook meeting is March 9th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. And we have a dynamite lineup, including Sue Martin, Steve Freed, Chip Flory, Glenn Ring, Joe Persaki, John Bondurant, and Ed Kieser. The cost is $20 and includes a continental breakfast and lunch. Register now at 800-528-7980 and avoid the long registration line. We take all major credit cards. Call 800-528-7980 and we'll mail you your tickets ahead of the event.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
In agricultural news, USDA Undersecretary Jim Miller says U.S. and Russian negotiators will need to meet for a second round of high-level talks in Moscow soon in order to resolve a dispute that halted U.S. poultry exports to Russia. Russia implemented a restriction on January 1st that effectively disqualified all U.S. poultry shipments because of the widespread use of chlorinated rinses by U.S. chicken processors. Officials at DuPont say that its agricultural unit has formed an alliance in sub-Saharan Africa to collaborate on development of higher-yielding maize varieties that need less fertilizer. DuPont's Pioneer Hybrid Unit will contribute gene technology in work led by the International Maize and Wheat Development Center and funded with $19.5 million in grants from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and USAID. The partners are aiming to develop maize varieties that ultimately yield 30 to 50% more than currently available varieties, with the same amount of nitrogen fertilizer applied. And France-based analytical firm Strategic Grains yesterday said it has revised its estimate for European Union's 2010-2011 soft wheat production to 134.7 million metric tons. That's up about 5 million tons on the year. And that's today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and of Commodity Week. You can hear that second program tonight after about 6 o'clock from our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Now, Gary Schnutke is here to talk about crop insurance decisions and a webinar, Gary, that you have coming up next week and the week after that.
We're going to be offering two webinars that are available to everybody that would just talk about crop insurance decisions for the 2010 year. Those two are coming up. One is next week, February 24th. Let me make sure that's right. Wednesday, February 24th at 8:30. And the second one is March 1st, which is a Monday at 11 o'clock. And both of those will be about an hour long, and we'll just talk about crop insurance for the 2010 year. They can get information about how to access those webinars on the FarmDoc website.
So they just go to FarmDoc at farmdoc.illinois.edu, and they will find it on the front page?
They'll find it on the front page and also in the crop insurance section.
All right, so if they're looking at some of the calculators that I know that are there already, they'll find that, the calculators, and they can do some pre-work if they want to. And then once they get to the webinar, what are you going to introduce? What will you introduce to them?
What we're going to do at the webinar is talk a bit about the decisions that farmers have to make. And in particular, what we're going to do is focus on whether to go the CRC, RA harvest price route, or the GRIP route. So what we'll specifically be talking about is that decision between those two types of products. What we see in Illinois is most people either going CRC or RA or GRIP. And as we're looking at that decision, we'll talk about which way you should go depending on your circumstances. The nuts and bolts of it are that CRC provides better protections against yield losses, and GRIP provides better protections against price declines. So if you're concerned more about price declines, you go GRIP route. And if you're more concerned about yield losses on your specific farm, you go the CRC RA harvest price route.
This has, in the past, seemed to be, while not clear-cut, fairly easy for producers to decide which way they were going to go, I suppose. Is that the same this year? I mean, there have been, yes, this is what you ought to do. Yeah, you should go GRIP, or you should go CRC, or this year you should do RA. But apparently that's not the case this year, or am I confusing the matter across the board?
That always has been a tough choice. This year, what has happened that's changed a lot of farmers' thinking, and it's actually a good thing, is that they introduced enterprise unit higher subsidies last year, which made CRC and RA less expensive if you bought it at the enterprise unit. So we saw farmers and others increasingly going to CRC and RA, which is a good thing because they are good products. And the new enterprise units, which are all crop in a county, provide a very good risk protection. But what we're trying to do this year is just to make sure that you understand when you go to CRC and RA, the highest coverage level that you can get is 85%, whereas on GRIP you can get 90%. And if you're concerned about price protection, that 5% difference is a big deal. And just to give you a feel for that, last year the base price for corn was $4.04. This year, right now, the running average is $3.95, but let's say it's $4. If we have a 90% coverage level, prices have to fall to 360 before you get a payment, given that the yield remains the same. 85% level, you got to go down to 340. And that's a 20-cent difference, but that 20 cents is, you know, a pretty big deal.
At the margin. That's a margin difference there.
Yeah. So we just want to make sure that they understand those differences, and either one of any one of those products are going to provide good protection. So,
and does it matter very much, I suppose, whether you are enrolled in the ACRE program or thinking about being enrolled in the ACRE program when you make these decisions?
You know,
the payment comes so much further. It's a full marketing year late.
Yeah, some people say that you should consider ACRE and SURE and when you're making your crop insurance decisions. I don't make that much of a linkage because we don't know if ACRE is going to pay for the 2009 year yet. So, you know, there's that distance. And even when we do the analysis, it's a marginal impact of whether ACRE or SURE should impact your crop insurance decisions. The one thing that you can say about both the ACRE and the SURE decision is that the higher the coverage level you select for your crop insurance decision, the more likely you'll be to receive an ACRE payment and the larger your SURE payment if it happens. But those are very, very marginal sorts of things. I personally wouldn't put those into the decision process.
All right, so back to the webinar. Just a quick bit of explanation. A webinar is an online interactive program. Will they be able to ask questions via phone or chat or if they have a microphone on their computer? And what kinds of things do you think they need on their end of the line? Do they need to be at their own computer? Are the extension sites going to be doing this along with them?
Well, what it's designed to do is they will be able to dial into a website and see the visuals that we'll be using. They also have to call in via phone line. They can do it at their own computers. So the idea is that, you know, you won't have to leave your office or your house and be able to participate in the webinar. Again, you will be able to see the materials we'll be presenting.
So you see the materials online, but you hear the voice on your telephone.
That's correct.
Materials are on your computer, and they're driven live.
Live.
Right.
And the voice will be live.
But it's on your telephone.
It's on your telephone. So you'll have to make a telephone connection and a web connection.
Right. So you have to have... And will dial-up work, do you think?
I think so. Okay, well, so. The problem with dial-up is you'll have to have a cell phone.
You have to have two phones, two different phone numbers if you're using dial-up. But,
And I think dial-up will be fine because actually what we'll be presenting are PowerPoint, so it's not like we're going to be...
So they should come down pretty simply. So even those people who are on dial-up... out in the countryside, still on a modem as opposed to a satellite feed or a broadband cable vision or something like that, will be able to get into the webinar, but they have to have a hookup to
a phone.
The internet, and they have to have a separate phone line to hear the audio. That's probably pretty important for them to know.
Yep.
And in the mean space, they have to pre-register for this?
Nope. We're not taking pre-registrations. We're going to try it live. To give a little background on this is the first of these webinars that we're going to try. We hope if we're successful at this and be patient with our technology the first time, we hope to make this more of a regular thing. We believe that, you know, webinars offer a lot of advantages and that we can do this hour program and people don't have to drive anywhere and only have to spend an hour or so with us and hopefully get some useful information.
So good luck with it. Again, if they want more information, complete information, visit the website, farmdoc.illinois.edu. The first one's on February 24th. The second one is on
March 1st.
March 1st. And are they both at the same start time?
8:30 on Wednesday and 11 o'clock on Monday.
A.M. both?
Yeah, A.M. both.
All right. Thank you very much, Gary.
You're welcome.
Gary Schnittke is a farm management specialist at the University of Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
It's a Friday afternoon, time to take a quick check of the cash grain market. Bruce Bostert of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company is with us. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
On Wednesday, we heard that in Delphi, Indiana, they were paying overs at the processors in that area for soybeans. Is that the case in Illinois as well?
Yes, we've seen some overs out there from the processors for beans. A little more interest there on soybeans. The export channels still have some interest. We haven't completely switched over yet, although sounds like progress is going pretty good in Brazil, but it takes a while to get those beans to the port and start filling up the backlog of vessels. So that creates opportunities for us.
So basis will stay strong, what, another week, 2 weeks?
It might push out a little bit further than that. I mean, granted, a boat 4 weeks, 6 weeks from now is going to have to be led, but I think you could see 4 weeks in there. Usually we overestimate on how soon we're going to see the switch on beans. We have a couple false starts before we really see it switch.
All right, and your bids for the day are?
We are at 340 on nearby corn and 935 on beans.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostert is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Join us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Friday afternoon, back in 2 minutes, when we talk with Steve Hilberg of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bonchert. Illinois Supreme Court today dashed former Governor George Ryan's hopes of salvaging at least part of his state pension. In a 6-1 decision, the high court said Ryan's racketeering and fraud conviction made him ineligible for any of the money. The 23-page decision, written by Justice Bob Thomas, put it in plain language, noting Ryan gets nothing. Thomas wrote that Illinois taxpayers were victims of Ryan's crimes and are under no obligation to fund his retirement. Ryan, who will turn 76 on Wednesday, is serving a 6.5-year sentence at the federal prison at Terre Haute. He's expected to be released in July 2013. His attorney, former Illinois Governor Jim Thompson, calls the Supreme Court's decision very disappointing. A student at Northern Illinois University is in custody, and another suffered a leg injury after a shooting early this morning on the campus. NIU President John Peters says it appears to be an isolated incident that stemmed from an altercation. Authorities have yet to determine an underlying motive in the case. Classes were not disrupted at NIU. Democratic Congressman Brad Ellsworth says he wants to take Evan Bayh's place in the U.S. Senate. A Democratic Party official says Ellsworth would ask state party officials to place him on the November ballot in Indiana. The official spoke on the condition of anonymity because an announcement had not yet been made. Ellsworth is in his second term from southwestern Indiana's 8th District and has been mentioned as a possible choice for Democrats since Bayh's unexpected announcement Monday that he wouldn't seek a third Senate term. The 51-year-old Ellsworth has won by big margins in both his congressional campaigns. A bill that would end public access to the state database of people with permits to carry guns in Indiana has won final approval in the General Assembly. Indiana Senate voted 48-0 yesterday to approve the bill, which now goes to Governor Mitch Daniels. Legislators moved to close the records after complaints from gun owners when the Indianapolis Star and Herald Times of Bloomington used information from the database to scrutinize how gun permits are issued. A renowned pathologist says the 2004 death of Drew Peterson's ex-wife was no accident. Michael Baden is the former chief medical examiner of New York City. He contends Kathleen Savio not only drowned in her bathtub, she was beaten. Peterson has pleaded not guilty to killing Savio. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Friday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural weather forecast. Steve Hilberg, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center that belongs to NOAA, is with us today. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it looks like we got maybe a tricky forecast for the weekend. Tell me about it.
Yeah, it's tricky. That's for sure. It's going to be one of those situations that's not going to be entirely clear cut until it's almost on top of us. What we can say is that we are in for a period of inclement weather here in the Midwest and Illinois that's going to probably cause some travel headaches, just depending on how things set up, but probably travel headaches over most of the region, beginning probably tonight and then through Monday. So the tricky part now is mostly with the Sunday-Monday system on where, how far north the warm air gets, what areas might get a little bit more liquid precipitation or a mix, and where the heavy snow might set up. But yesterday, things were a little bit further south on the latest model runs. Things have shifted slightly north, and we'll have to wait another run or two to see just how things are going to work themselves out. But either way, it's going to be some headaches come Sunday and Monday.
Yeah, on Sunday and Monday, if the tricky part shows up, what kind of headaches do we have to play with?
Well, somebody's going to get some heavy snow, it looks like. Yesterday, it looked like it would be right across through central Illinois, roughly, from Jacksonville over to Champaign. Now that shifted north. Looks like it will be further north, maybe I-80 north, but that doesn't rule out snow for central Illinois, but there could be a period of liquid precipitation. Mostly rain. I don't think we'll see any freezing rain, but then a mix, possibly some sleet. And picking out just when and where that's all going to occur is the tough part this far ahead. So basically, if you're going to be heading northward this weekend, later this weekend, that's going to be the problem area. The further south you go, the more likely you'll get into warm air and be encountering the rain and liquid precipitation.
So it's likely to be a pretty wet snow, I would think.
Yeah, you're right, exactly. It's going to be a wet snow. It's not going to be like this last one we had, which you could almost clear your walks with a leaf blower if you wanted to. This one's going to be have a lot of water in it, and so it'll be tough to drive in and tough to shovel and tough to get around in.
And then next week, will it stay around for very long? Will it turn
whatever we get by Monday, we'll probably stay around. We're going to get another shot of pretty cold air, it looks like, coming in next week. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised to see flurries in the air much of next week, even after this storm pulls out of here late Monday into Tuesday. We could see flurries Wednesday and Thursday as well, and really not much of a break in the cold air. So looks like we're going to finish up February well below normal with temperatures for most of Illinois, probably above normal snowfall for much of the state, and looks like we're going to carry the winter weather into the first week of March.
Well, I guess it's still winter, at least for a while longer. Eventually, it'll turn warmer, I suppose.
Eventually it will, yes.
That's always the good news. Thank you much, Steve.
All right, Todd.
Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. He's located at the Illinois State Water Survey right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. The Climate Center does belong to NOAA. And that is this Friday edition of the Closing Mark Report. Be sure to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. We'll record our weekend program. It's called Commodity Week at about 4:30 this afternoon. Get it posted there by about 6 o'clock at willag.org. You can hear it even before it airs on a radio station at willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a great afternoon.